Good afternoon. I'm Bob Perot, and very pleased to be joined via Zoom today by a couple of people. We'll introduce our first guest here, Aaron Lee, Lanark County Interval House, frequent guest here on MyFM 88.1. Welcome, Aaron.
Always happy to be here, Bob.
And Pamela Cross is joining us. Pamela, thank you for being here. Can you tell people what it is you do?
Yes, I do a number of different things in the area of violence against women and the law. And one of those is I am the advocacy director with an organization called Luke's Place in Durham Region.
Now, something special is happening on the 7th ahead of International Women's Day, which is coming up on Friday. And that's why you're here. Pamela, maybe you can describe what is going to be happening.
I'm really excited because some years I have to admit that as we get close to IWD, and Aaron, you probably feel like this some of the time too, it's hard to know, are we celebrating? Are we angry? What should we do? What do we focus on? And this year, because of a really interesting initiative among three different organizations, tomorrow on March 7th, we're launching what we're calling our Rural Roots Initiative. This is a new tool in the form of some online resources, some put in your hand resources to make sure that folks in rural communities have the tools they need to support on an individual level survivors of intimate partner violence. It's an initiative of Lanark County Interval House, Luke's Place, and the Neighbors, Friends, and Families program, which has been running for many, many years.
So what are some of the resources that you'll find?
Online, there's a website that's dedicated to what do neighbors, friends, and family members need to know about intimate partner violence in rural communities. So everything from what are some of the challenges posed by rural communities, things like distance, lack of access to services, lack of privacy, and so on. What are some of the signs of intimate partner violence? Because it can look different in a rural community than it can look in an urban community. And then, what can I, as that neighbor or friend, do in a very practical way to be helpful if I'm concerned that my neighbor or my friend or my relative may be subjected to intimate partner violence?
Aaron, you and I have looked so far at 60 of the inquest recommendations into ending intimate partner violence in Ontario. This sounds like many of the topics that we've covered over the course of our discussions.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think that, truth be told, I think that when we were, Pam and I were both involved in doing some education and talking about the CKW inquest, when Pam, very rightly so, asked the question and proposed the option of has neighbors of friends and family ever done a rural iteration of their work and their campaigns? And that really led to this work that's being launched tomorrow. And it is very exciting because we talk about education, we talk about informing our community, we talk about empowering our community, and we talk about ensuring that we don't compromise or increase risk for survivors or for neighbors, friends, or family. So this campaign, Bob, fits perfectly in the work that we are really striving to do to make changes, especially in rural communities.
Pamela, we know that one of the biggest challenges that we face in helping people in rural areas who are living with IPV, maybe in a terrible situation, is communication. It's difficult for some people to get cell reception in certain places, whether or not they're online, and then just the sheer distance between some people in rural settings is a huge challenge. Does this get addressed at all?
Certainly, the challenge is raised. When it comes to the kind of tech issues that you started out talking about, good cell systems and access to reliable internet and so on, that's beyond the scope of what a neighbor can do to be helpful, right? This requires major political will and some amount of financial investment at that level. But I think it's still important for people to think about those issues. So that when they're offering support to a survivor, they can be practical about it rather than suggesting something that just isn't going to work in a rural setting. And we also know that change can happen, and the best kind of change does happen from the grassroots, the ground up. So as more and more rural communities identify the challenges with respect to intimate partner violence and lack of good and reliable communication, they can raise those issues with their municipalities. And then from there, those issues can be taken up at the provincial and federal levels.
I guess what I'm saying is these are hurdles that can be a challenge to offer that help and to reach out as a neighbor and help them. Is methodology part of this package?
I'm not sure that I would use the word methodology, but maybe that's just a matter of different kinds of language. There are very practical tips. For example, can I, as a neighbor, even if I'm 2 kilometers away, leave a key to my car somewhere that the neighbor I'm concerned about can get access to if she needs to get somewhere quickly? Can I offer to take care of farm animals if she needs to leave the home in order to be safe? Can the kids come to my place when it's not safe for them to be at home, or when their mom has to go to a legal appointment or some other kind of appointment? So it's our goal to make this resource really, really practical. And if I can just tie it back to the inquest one more time, before the inquest, we held a number of community consultations to hear from folks in Renfrew County about the impact of what had happened on them and what they thought needed to change. And one of the things I heard in those community consultations that I will never forget, came from a member of the community, not somebody who worked in this area. And she said, to survive, you have to live in a community that takes responsibility for your safety. That's what we're trying to do here with this resource.
I think that I just wanted to add in terms of the language of methodology. I think at the very beginning of the Rural Roots iteration, there's a statement about the realities and the context of women who are living in violent situations in rural communities. That may not be a step-by-step methodology breakdown of of violence in rural communities, but it contextualizes it so that, as Pam said, practically speaking, neighbors, family members and friends will actually take note of, oh, that's something I read in that campaign. Oh, that's part of the context when, I see somebody at the end of their road on the phone. That may actually be because they're unsafe. Or all the practical tips that Pam was suggesting about leaving a key or taking a pie over to the neighbors, knocking on the door and offering a pie during some kind of holiday celebration, which just disrupts the cycle. You can hear stuff going on, you make a plan, you decide to disrupt in the safest way possible. And the other reality I want to say, Bob, is I think that the community, working from the community ground up, I think when we think about the issue of cell phone reception, I think we know that the influence that the ground community members and working on the ground have had are that associations and big agencies like the United Way, for instance, has taken that on, right? They've taken on pushing that issue with the government around cell phone reception in rural communities. So I think there is a this natural kind of nuance that happens when communities start to speak about and make those issues well known in community, then larger entities can take that on and push that up. And we're all part of that in terms of our rural community.
And we've talked about this many times too, Aaron. It prompts discussion and conversation, both at these really high, large levels, down to one-on-one intimate conversations as well.
100%. And one of the things I want to say that Pam and I really worked hard on for this particular iteration was looking at See It, Name It, Change It, and having See It, Name It, Change It be kind of the overarching theme of what people can be doing when you see violence and you name violence and you change violence. And I really think it's really an awesome way to look at how rural communities are actually impacting the nature of what's being created for other communities to embrace. And I think that it was really important for us to combine our efforts with See It, Name It, Change It to see it and See It, Name It, Check It. It was really important to have that dialogue and to make sure we embed that in communities and make that available.
Pamela, before my last question to you, I just see you're nodding your head quite a bit there as Erin is speaking, so I'll ask you to weigh in on what she just said.
I think the See It, Name It, Change It campaign is a really brilliant strategy. This links very closely with that. Just this morning, we were talking about the idea of sticky QR codes that we can be putting up in public spaces that link people to this resource, but also carry the heading of See It, Name It, Change It. Much of the information in the Rural Roots brochure comes from work done over the last 10 years by Luke's Place across the province. So it's just been a kind of magical coming together of independent pieces of work that now are housed in one place. And to me, that's just always so exciting.
All right, Pamela, if people would like to take a look at the resource or access this, how do they go about doing so?
Well, Aaron, do you have that right at your fingertips? They can go to the Neighbors, Friends, and Families website, and all they have to do is type Neighbors, Friends, and Families into their search engine, and they will get there. And then they can find this newest iteration. The Rural Roots is the name of the brochure.
It's easy to do. You just did it in real time as we were talking here. So
I did.
if you have access to Google, you're right there. Thank you very much for this, Pamela. And just before I let you go, and you, Aaron, as well, just what should people be thinking about on International Women's Day?
I want people to think local, rather than thinking, how are we going to end intimate partner violence around the world on International Women's Day? I want people to think about what each of us can do in our communities to support individual survivors and to make change where we live.
Aaron, same question.
I think Pam's answer was brilliant. I think that this year's theme for International Women's Day is inspire inclusion. I think people should be thinking about how to inspire inclusion in their own communities and going along with local. I think we need to figure out how do we inspire inclusion of women? How do we inspire inclusion of women's voices? And how do we inspire inclusion of the power in the masses of community voices, uniting together for change?
Pam Cross from Luke's Place, thank you so much for this. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Bob.
And Aaron Lee, as always, a pleasure.
Thank you, Bob.
I'm Bob Perot. Thanks so much for listening to Lanark and LanarkLeadsToday.ca and 88.1 MyFM.